Weirdos. Weirdos TV. Weirdos TV. Weirdos TV. Weirdos TV. Weirdos TV. Welcome to Weirdos TV again. You can call me, you can Skype me, you can watch the show, you can listen on Radio Free Brooklyn, or catch me on Big Chat, Weirdos TV, or you can catch me on MNN, Channel 3, Saturday nights at 11:30, same time as RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/MondayTimeWeirdos. You can find us everywhere, anywhere that you would find fine strangeness, you'll find Weirdos TV. So let's get going with tonight's show, shall we? Okay, so tonight we're gonna see if we can find somebody on Skype. You know, Skype. Find someone tonight on Skype.
Computer. I was so psyched to explore a whole new world. I just don't feel normal. My friends are nice, but they just don't get me.
I feel like such a weirdo!
Where do you go to be understood? I found this online show. I can call in. I can express myself. Be on TV. Weirdos TV. Weirdos.com. Sometimes a stranger can be your best friend.
Jeremy, my favorite.
You're online. You made it. Are you there? I'm here, and we're live. We're making live broadcasting right now.
And so I always say it, Mac, but what's the theme tonight? Because you're the maestro. I love you, babe. You're always the best.
We love each other. It's criminal. But yes, the theme tonight is communication.
Is what?
Communication is the theme for tonight.
Are we talking about Donald Trump and Hillary, or?
I don't think that qualifies as communication. Do you?
I don't know. I'm asking you. You're the grand poobah. Remember Flintstones?
Well, yes, I don't know if I can. No, what I'm going to try and do is see if we can bring on a second guest here, and then we'll have like a conversation between the three of us.
That sounds great, man. You know, I'm totally into this. Sometimes I go into this or that, but you know, I'm always a team player with you, Mr. Jeremy.
Yeah.
You know that.
Well, we're gonna see if we can get a third person on here. I'm calling a guy on Skype who says he's just hanging out. But,
Hey,
Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. Because...
Oh, Michael's there. And where does Michael come from?
Well, Michael's not here yet. We're still bringing him in. Okay, we got you, Michael. Now you're here. Michael, welcome to Weirdos TV.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Are we live, Mr. Jeremy?
We're live. We're going out live all over the world. Right now.
Great.
We have two guests.
Okay.
We have Michael and we have John. Or do you prefer Murray?
Okay.
Do you prefer Murray to John?
Oh, hello. Is this Michael?
Yes, this is he speaking.
Yeah.
Is Michael there?
You can hear Michael. John, can't you?
I can hear Michael a little bit, yes.
Okay, well, it's complicated. You know, we're all here coming from different time zones. Michael, you probably don't know that I'm broadcasting from the future.
I actually was aware of that fact.
You know that. You've been doing this for a number of years.
You will become aware of that fact in the future.
Actually, I've been aware of that for several years, but not in the same
way. I'm sorry. See, when I say the future, for me it's the past because I move backwards.
So I meant
that you will remember that for the last several years.
My thing is I move sideways.
You're a mythical being in the future and in the past. Or a real being.
Really?
Yes. I kid you not, I move sideways. Shit changes all the time, but...
I've always wanted to be able to move sideways in time.
It's a cursing and a blessing.
It's a blessed curse.
Yeah, indeed.
It's the best ever blessed curse that I ever heard.
Yeah, you know, I walked into a gas station once, and all of a sudden, I'd been going to this place for 3 years, and all of a sudden, they had a beer garden. And I'm like, how the hell did you install an entire different section of your store in one day? And they're like, that's been there for 15 years.
15 years.
It wasn't there the day before or the day before for me.
For you.
But very little thing, very, very
that's
small.
That's because you're moving sideways.
Yes, not always, but I like to actually find a place and anchor down because it gets a little disconcerting.
I know how you feel. I am so lost in time and space. It's very confusing for me all the time. Mr. John, are you still here?
Oh, yes, no, I'm just trying. I thought you had lost Mr. Michael.
Well, no, I just wanted to make sure you both were here.
What are we discussing tonight?
We're discussing communication.
What is
the idea of communication? what is your interpretation on that, Mr. Jeremy?
I wanted to ask Michael about communication.
Indeed.
Michael, what is communication?
Communication is an exchange of thoughts, data, ideas, or energy between sentient beings.
Ah. See, now that's where I get confused, because I'm not sure I'm sentient. I'm sure I'm a being of some sort.
I'm looking right at you. You have the quality and nature of self-awareness. So you do.
Okay.
Sure you exist.
Mr. Michael must be. Where is it? Where is he, in China or India? He's like so far out. I can't see him.
We're located in the beautiful city of Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago? That's fantastic.
Oh, Chicago. Oh, how wonderful.
That's very exciting.
I want to take them off. Don't count them.
Are you Chicago Board of Trade? I wanted to invest my inheritance over there.
I know some traders. They're pretty weird guys.
Really? What can we trade with in them?
They trade with everything. Commodities, corn, oil, pigs.
What about time?
I don't know. If you could trade time.
Yeah, I have a lot of extra time that I could just trade to them. I could put it in a box. I could ship it to them today. It would get there by yesterday, and it's good quality time.
Let me ask you, if you could put time in a bottle.
No, you can't put it in a bottle. No. You don't understand. You know what happens when you try to put time in a bottle? The last thing that you'll ever do.
Right, is it vacuum?
If you could put time in a bottle, you'd probably die, is what I would assume.
How do we know time is not, in fact, already within a bottle of one
because
quarter?
Because you have to keep it in boxes. It needs to be parceled out, and it likes to, it likes to know that it's, look, if you knew time as well as I do, you wouldn't worry about it, because he never worries about you.
Not worth.
Okay.
Are you an artist, Michael? You're an artist, Michael?
By nature, yes. By profession, I would have to say no.
I see. So it's a combination of yes and no.
Yeah, I mean, I produce art of one sort or another all the time, but my primary distance doesn't revolve around it, unfortunately, as much as that would be nice. How about you, John?
John, yeah, what about you?
Oh, me?
Are you an artist?
I don't know, man. I went to Hunter College, and I have a degree in theater, and I was always thinking about the avant-garde.
So you're going to be...
You know what?
So you wanted to hunt theatrically? Is that what you're saying? You wanted to hunt theatrically?
You became a theatrical... The avant-garde I used to think about, you know.
Well, but isn't that like theatrical hunting? Virtually, if you're going to Hunter College, I would think you would want to become a theatrical hunter.
Well, you know, I get a degree from the theater from them, but...
Yes?
I used to think about the avant-garde, you know, back in the day, but...
Avant-garde is before what? Before whose guard?
Well, like, I always read this book, The Avant-Garde Since 1970, and then it was like starting to get to the idea, and then somehow I lost the idea.
If it's avant-garde, then it's you're not ready for it.
I don't know.
Shouldn't it be on guard?
It was, it's just all like these.
What do you know about the avant-garde?
Words.
Michael, what do you know about the avant-garde?
I think it's fancy thought or off the hook. Like, out to lunch, out there in a way that most people aren't. Very few are, and they appreciate it at first, and then it becomes popular. As soon as it becomes popular, every idiot likes it, but they don't know why. That's what avant-garde is.
Yes, I've noticed that. There's a sort of institutionalization. And I think I've managed to create something so weird that it'll never not be avant-garde. You know what I mean?
Like
even if they broadcast Weirdos TV in supermarkets and on elevators, I think we'd still be considered avant-garde, don't you think?
Well, I have to say that when I first started doing this, I had a friend that worked for the CIA. And they told me that all the elevator music came from Muzak, M-U-Z-A-K, in Long Island City. And then they actually created that idea of that, which came from the CIA. And then I was like, oh, why'd they create that? But Muzak is supposed to be a form of avant-garde, which is to say was created by the CIA, but I'm not really sure.
Are you saying the CIA created the avant-garde?
The CIA created Muzak in Long Island City, they say.
But if we could make the Muzak into avant-garde, like because it made it cool.
Well, like elevator music. I listen to it all the time. I love it so much. Elevator music.
But how do I become elevator music? Do I have to contact the CIA in order?
I don't know, man. I don't know what the CIA is doing anymore. I haven't really spoke to them recently.
Michael, what are your reports on the CIA lately?
On the CIA?
Recently,
don't pretend with me. We know you're CIA.
Our CIA. We were doing IO. We do information operations. We make propaganda. That's what we do. This is
propaganda. I'm doing Weirdos propaganda.
CIA.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's probably why.
Right.
I ended up in a CIA type unit was because of this.
So Michael, why did the CIA arrest John?
Say again.
I'm asking Michael because he's a CIA guy. Maybe he knows why they're after you.
I don't have any...
They don't really ask you. They just are into these things. I don't know.
Michael, you can tell the truth. We know you're really a CIA agent, and you're just here to...
I could try to do a little remote viewing, though.
You might be CIA.
I was the CIA.
Remote
they
viewing.
They call it the C, actually, but I was like...
Maybe the DIA. Maybe the...
It's Defense Intelligence Agency. Yeah,
how about the XRA?
What age, John, did they first become interested in you?
How long has it been?
How long has it been for what?
How long has the CIA been after you?
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know. I think since the early 1980s, when I met a KGB agent that wanted a code book. I think that's when I first met the CIA. And then I went to get a job at the CIA, and I failed the Morse code test. So I think it's probably, like, 80. I went to the CIA in 85 for a job interview. I'd say since 1985. They've been after me.
1985.
They're not really after me. I just think they just, they just make propaganda.
Why do you think they're making that propaganda, Michael? I don't think it's fair that they're making that propaganda.
They make lots of propaganda. I mean, they hire all sorts of artists with different things. I don't know what they're doing now, to be honest with you.
Michael, what are they doing now?
What they're always doing, and that is stirring
unrest. Oh, I know what they're doing now. It's something to do with Russia. That's a recent thing I've heard.
Is that true, Michael?
Yes, that is true.
Russia is the biggest thing recently.
Yeah. They're
Russia.
Friends.
You know about Hillary Clinton and Russia? Have you heard about that one?
What about Hillary and Russia?
The Russian Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, yes. Can I explain that to you?
I went over to the
92Y. Did I ever tell you about the 92? Are you still there?
Of course, but I'm in the future.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I got a 92Y. A 92Y. You know, that's. Have you heard of a 92Y? Like 92Y place? But that's, I'm a supply sergeant over there. But I call it the 92Y. But
why? Why?
Because I'm a supply sergeant, but it's a propaganda unit on it in the Army. And then, they're talking about Hillary Clinton. So I went over there the other day, and I took a German test. And then they wanted to know if I knew Russian.
And you did.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening to your...
You're still here.
Michael, are you still there?
They wanted to know if I knew Russian. I said, no, I don't know Russian. So they were saying that they have several people who speak Russian who are spying on Hillary. That's what they were saying. They're looking for them.
But, John, why would you spy on Hillary?
I'm not spying on Hillary. It's the
Russians
are spying on Hillary.
Michael, did you assign John to spy on Hillary, Michael?
I have no authority in any of this. I am... Privy to certain details, but not really engaged.
Yeah, but just tell us the truth. You hired John so that he would spy on Hillary, didn't you?
No, I don't speak fluent Russian. I told him not. I can't spy on Hillary. I'm illiterate in Russian. And I told him also I'm illiterate in German. I'm probably literate in Spanish. I could probably speak Spanish. I could speak Spanish and standard American English.
Would that be good enough, Michael, if you could just speak Spanish?
Wow.
I can speak Spanish. Yeah, I speak probably two level. I speak understandable Spanish. But.
Okay, well, it's possible, John. You'll have to learn some. I think, John, you'll have to learn some additional foreign language. German would be best, but if
I would suggest Klingon.
Klingon, yes.
But they were looking, and they said that there's people in Hillary's group who have a transmitter. Hillary. Yeah, they have a transmitter to Moscow.
John, are you now announcing on live television that Hillary Clinton is a Klingon?
No. Hillary, actually, you know what they call her in Russia, Hillary? They call her Evita Peron. They call her Evita Peron.
Is that a Klingon?
No, that's Evita Peron. You ever heard of that?
Who are you calling, Madonna? Michael?
I'm taking a call. Go ahead, Jim. You can't hear me.
You gotta make it much louder.
You don't understand how complicated it is. Do you know how much work it took me to get...
I'm on the radio right now. What's going on?
He's talking to someone else on the phone.
Alright.
Oh, anyway, that's what they call it. But I really don't care. But, you know, Evita Perón is, you know, from Argentina. Evita.
It's really...
Literally on the radio. I'll have to call me after 9 your time.
9?
Work out.
Okay. You back?
Sorry.
No, that's alright.
Yeah,
I understand. I have to take calls, too. That's why I'm talking to 3 people at once.
Right on.
There's me and John and you. That's 3 of us.
These are 2 short.
Oh, who else? Who else? So, anyway, that's what they say. Evita. Have you ever heard of Evita Perón, Mr. Jeremy?
I remember her from a long time in the future. It's something that I...
Yeah.
I can't...
That's what they say. That's what they say about Hillary in Russia. They call her Evita Perón.
Yeah, but what does she call them?
She says that she's friends with them or somehow. I don't know, but they don't like her. I don't know why they don't
like
her.
Look, I have never in my entire life heard Hillary Clinton singing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina.
Yeah, but they say that that's who she is. She's Evita Perón.
But if she was Evita Perón, she'd sing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina.
Yeah, I know that, but then I would get a job driving a taxi, but they don't hire a white guy driving a taxi. In Argentina, they do. You know, Mario is the president of Argentina. If you're a white guy, you can get a job washing dishes in Argentina. Not here, though.
Argentina is a
Mario is the president of Argentina. Have you heard of Mario?
Michael, have you heard of Mario from Argentina?
Yeah, Mario is the president of Argentina. Mario.
Barry?
We called him that. Mario is the name. M-A-R-I-O. Mario.
Mario from Argentina?
He's the president of Argentina. Mario.
Is he there right now?
He might be listening in. I doubt it. He's kind of a snob. He's a snobby guy. He's the president of Argentina.
Well,
Mario.
That's not good enough. We need someone who's listening right now so we can speak to him. Right, Michael?
Yeah.
I don't know who listens to you. I'm a big fan of you. I mean, you should try it. Nobody's calling in. I don't know, it's really bad.
Well, how can anybody call in, John?
The Howard Stern Show. When I started doing this shit, I used to call the Howard Stern Show, man. Howard Stern, you remember that shit, man?
But if people were calling in, they couldn't get in because all the lines are blocked up. So they can't tune in. When the lines are on.
Somebody must show up, man. Nobody's showing up. Mr. Jeremy, that's terrible.
Well, but you're here, and Michael's here, right, Michael?
I'm right here.
Okay, it's okay, babe. Don't worry about it.
But
we love you, man. You know we love you, babe.
He's lost somewhere. Poor John.
I don't feel to mention this. I'm from Long Island.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm from Long Island.
Long Island is very long.
Strong Island.
Strong.
You guys from Long Island? He's from Long Island.
Yeah. Hong Kong Island.
I'm from Levittown.
Levittown?
I really am.
Levittown.
Levittown, New York.
Levittown, Long Island.
What's that?
Levittown, named after Mr. Levitt.
Well, is it Levitt's town, or is it Levitt, the town of Levitt?
It's named after Mr. Levitt. You know Mr. Levitt? Mr. Levitt.
Yeah, sure. He was our developer.
Yeah, no,
Levittown.
I remember
Levittown in New York, and he's got a Levittown.
Yeah, I remember his slogan was Leave It or Leave It. Wasn't that right? That was his slogan back then.
He
used to say, Leave It or Leave It, and you had to decide right then. And if you didn't spend the money right away, you didn't get it. So you'd get to the store and you'd be like, okay, I'm ready now. And he'd be like, okay, leave it or leave it. And you'd be like, no, I'm not ready. And then he'd kick you out of the store. Terrible businessman. I don't know, but why did they name a town after him?
Because he was a land developer. Mr. Levitt was a land developer.
He sold loans? He sold homes.
He also sold loans, yes. But
Levitt was a land developer.
A Pharisee?
Levitt.
he took a gamble and put some money in and got some people behind him and built houses before they were sold. And then sold them to incoming veterans.
So he was like a speculator.
Pretty low mortgage rates.
So he was like a vegetative speculator.
The real trip to go back to Levittown 50 years after it was built and to see how everything ripped all the trees out, tried to extend, changed all these houses that had designed into their own design. Everyone trying to be an individual inside their prefabricated reality. Very, very interesting. That's time for you.
That's why I left. I got sick and tired of that sort of stuff. That's why I had to go into the future.
Everybody is the same.
Into the future, Dave. That's the most important, man. Stay in the future.
This planet.
It's like, the president is really terrible. I mean, if you like the president, I'm not really.
I like the past, but the present is always moving. And the nice thing about the past is that it hasn't happened to me yet. I only know about the future, which I remember vividly.
Future. The future would be what? I don't know what the future would be. We'd fly around in spaceships, I suppose, instead of a subway.
I was going to use a spaceship, but it didn't move in time, so I had to get this dimensional shifting spaceship to go through time and space and dimensions all at once. And
then we find a planet. You know, they're always looking for a new planet to live on. I mean, I don't know if they'll ever find a planet to live on. They look at like Mars.
You bend it.
I don't know if they'll ever find a planet to live on. That would be exciting, a new planet to live on.
But if you bend space-time, you don't have to have a body at all. You can just live as pure energy. That's what I've been doing for the last 1,000 years.
You probably can, man. I mean,
it's very exciting.
So much better than living like a human, because a human is a terrible way to live. I mean, it's terrible. But you're right, though. Yeah, that would be great. I mean, in the future, if you live in the future as an entity or body of an idea, then you probably could, you probably can live like that for eternity.
Well, the secret is to become a fictional character.
Indeed. And you know what? You just hit the nail on the head. You know what? I'll let you in on a little secret.
Please tell us, Michael.
Most people you bump into,
yes,
of the human variety on this planet,
yeah.